So you guys, the danger that we know is real is death. It is our enemy. Satan is the father of lies. He brings death and destruction, and it causes a lot of fear for people. Thank you. I'll take those from you. Death is something that comes to us all, and that's why we look at this question. It's like, man, these are kind of heavy. Sorry about that, but man, it's good to think about these things. And it's good to know that, okay, death, I'm not really afraid of death, or I really am. And the answer is why, if you are afraid or not afraid. And I think a lot of times we think of our life as something that is precious, and we don't want to let it go. I was sitting in a hot tub with a bunch of high schoolers one time, and we were just talking about death and afterlife and God, and I had one of my friends, Devin, and he's like, man, I do not want to die. I do not. And he was just afraid of death. And we're like, why, man? Like, what's the deal? And do you know what's going to come after? And he just said he just didn't want to die. He wanted to live his life, live it to the full. And it was interesting because I really couldn't get the motive, the root cause of all that, why he didn't want to do that. We could go back to the remedy slide, Felice. But I think sometimes people are afraid because they feel like they're not good enough. They're not ready for the afterlife. In fact, if you ask someone, do you consider yourself a good person? Sometimes you'll get different answers. And a lot of times it's based on different standards of goodness. Oftentimes if someone asked you that, hey, do you think you're a good person? You immediately think of kind of the comparison of other people, like, well, yeah, I'm not an Adolf Hitler, you know, I'm pretty good. But when we compare ourselves to a higher standard, or the standard of just the definition of good, then we understand, man, I don't think I am very good. And it's kind of like looking into a mirror. When you look into a mirror, you see things very up close and personal. Sometimes you're like, man. And this is the person we look at every single day. But really on the inside, it's like, who are we? Do I need saving? And we could look at the Ten Commandments, or God's moral law, like a mirror. It's a mirror to our souls. When we look at, hey, and you could even kind of give yourself a test. So I'm going to kind of do a simple test, and you could answer it this way. So take this simple test just in your heart, in your own conscience. Kind of say yes or no to these next questions. Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Don't say yes, but just in your head. Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Okay. Next question. Have you ever told a lie? Okay. Next question. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Called stealing. What do you call someone who steals? A thief, right? I was a thief. In eighth grade, I got caught stealing. I got caught shoplifting from a mall. Me and my two best friends. And after the dust had settled and we had talked to the police and I got back home, I was so distraught because I really hated what I had done. And I'm so thankful because my parents were so gracious to me. They really kind of showed me what grace is all about. Unmerited favor is kind of the technical definition of grace, but receiving something that you don't deserve. I didn't deserve love when I did something bad, but that's exactly what salvation is. It's a gift. Heaven is a gift. It's something we can't earn or deserve, but people are not good, and I am included in that, and we all are. And so I don't know who has Romans chapter 3, but can you read that, please? Romans chapter 3. Who did I give that one to?
10 through 12?
Yes. So go ahead and listen.
As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one.
Good. So no one does good, not a single one. That's what the Bible teaches about us. I'm included, and we're included. And then the next one. Verse 23.
For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard.
Good. Okay. For all have sinned. That's a lot of, we commit that one to memory oftentimes. And so when we think about salvation, we're saying, okay, salvation is rescue from danger. Danger from what? Danger from future punishment. Like if I break the law and I get arrested, what is the government going to do to me? Yeah, they're going to punish me. How?
Fines,
jail time, right? Okay, now if God punishes us based on our crimes that we committed, what happens? What does he do? Does he give us 10 years in a cell and that's it? What's God's punishment? Huh? No, what is God's punishment?
I guess eternity, like, away from God.
Okay, there you go. And there's a place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels and all those whose names are not written in the book of life, the lake of fire and burning sulfur. What is that called? Hell. Okay, so God has a place of punishment. And when we sin, we all fall short of his standard. That's a dangerous position. And when we ask ourselves and we look at God's law and God says, I want a relationship with you. I created you. I want us to be very close. And this is how I would like you guys to live. And when we break that and we ignore it, that's a dangerous position to be because that's our maker. He designed us. He created us. He owns us. And that's tough stuff. But thank God, he does love us. He saved us. He sent a savior. It's not Jesus came and he loved us. No, for God loved the world. He already loved the world and he sent his son. It was an outpouring of that. Can someone read Colossians 1:13? Who did I have read that? All right. And then who has 2 Corinthians? Okay, so after she's done, I'll ask you. So this is Colossians 1:13. And 14?
Oh, and 14. God has purchased our freedom with his blood and has forgiven all of us.
Good. So it's a transfer from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus. He purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins. So what happened when we got saved? There's a lot of things that happened when we got saved. Do we need saving? Oh, yes, because we just have to look in the mirror and say, yes, I need saving. But what happens when we got saved? That's the next question. So this new birth, you're being born again. It puts you into God's family in exactly this, or kind of like the exactly same way your physical birth puts you in your father's family. You are now a child of God by birth. It's something new that happens. The Bible talks about a regeneration. You're regenerate. Re is kind of again, and generate means to start something. You're started anew. You're recreated. There's a new genesis, new generation, regeneration. So at the moment of your salvation, your old nature died and was buried with Christ, as it says in Romans 6. What arose out of the grave was something completely different. Listen to this. From what went in, you became a new creature with a new nature. Mike, can you read this verse? Listen to this.
2 Corinthians 5:17-18.
Good. So this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, a new creation. That is a benefit of salvation. You are recreated. You're new. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. Okay? And so what we're going to do now, I want you guys to all open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. So you think of the acronym Go Eat Popcorn, G, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So right after Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2. So read individually verses 1 through 10 by yourself silently, and then I'm going to give you more instructions. So read Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. And then I'm going to give you guys more instructions. All right. So now I want you to look at the people next to you. And with someone next to you, you could get into a group of 2 or 3, no more than 3. I want you guys to talk this out with a friend. So kind of glance at it again, verses 1 through 3. And I want you guys to discuss the negative things that are happening in there in verses 1 through 3, and then also the positives in the following verses. Okay, so groups of 2 or 3, grab someone, glance at verses 1 through 3 again, look at the positives, what's happening in there, or the negatives, and then look at the rest and look at the positives. What are some like problems, some bad things, and what are some good things? All right. So you guys have a few minutes, kind of list them out on your hand. These are the bad things that are happening. These are the good things. Okay? Go. There's a lot of negatives in the first few verses, but then the positives after that. Yeah. So negatives and positives, folks. Negatives and positives. What are some bad things that are in those verses? And then what are some good things, some awesome things? List those out on your hand. All 1 through 10, all through. Here, talk to your partner. All right, some of you guys are done looking at negatives, positives. So keep on going if you don't have. And if you're done, then kind of regroup and say, okay, here are the negatives, and then here are the positives, because you're going to report. All right, about 40 more seconds here. 40 more seconds. All right. You guys, this is a wonderful exercise. We could dig and dig and dig and dig in this passage. And I encourage you to do so. Real quick, what are some negative things that you saw? Some things that are just kind of like bad news in these verses. Just throw them out, okay? Deadness. What does that mean? Dead. It's kind of like me, if I wasn't delivered, rescued, saved, I would be at the bottom of the pool, dead, okay? Dead. Now, just so you guys, I know, that's just the reality of the situation. It is kind of morbid, actually. But you guys think about it. It's oftentimes you may hear people talk about the gospel message or salvation and say, hey, it's kind of like a terminal illness. You're very sick and you're on your deathbed and Jesus comes to you and you just have to open your mouth and let him put in the medicine, say, yes, I want the medicine. And you kind of do that. Or another thing is you're on a boat and there's a storm and your boat gets destroyed and there's big waves and you're holding on to this debris. And this is me and in the water. And I mean, this is what you might hear in terms of things which I think are wrong based on this verse and others like it. But you're in the ocean and you're on this floating piece of debris, and then a rescue boat, and it's coming, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus's rescue boat. And you're like, oh good, I need a deliverer, savior. And then he throws out the thing and you're like, no, I'm good. That's what some people think salvation is like, that you could actually be like, okay, the rescue boat came and I'm kind of alive still, kind of tired. I've been out here a few days and I'm holding on this piece of wood that I'm trusting in to save me. And Jesus comes and he's saying, hey, I can save you. And you're like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to choose this. You guys, we're like dead in sin. It's like we're at the bottom of the ocean. And Jesus comes in and jumps in and goes down and picks us up in our dead, sinful, wicked state and then resuscitates us and brings us to life. You guys, faith is a gift. And we can't earn it. We can't save ourselves. It's something that God does from start to finish. Otherwise, we could boast about it like this talked about. So we're dead. That is a key thing. It's negative in there, but it's key that we know that. Okay, what other negatives?
We disobeyed God.
Okay, disobedience. What else?
We're all subject to God's wrath.
Good, subject to God's wrath. Okay, there's a Greek word in there that's not in some of the versions. It's children. It actually uses the word children of wrath. That's kind of our nature. We're subject to God's anger, meaning God's angry. I mean, God is love, but he's also angry. The Bible's clear about that. And by nature, because when we look at the mirror and we say, man, I've broken God's laws. I'm not as clean as I thought I was. I've lied and I've stolen and I've looked with lust and I've disobeyed my parents and I've coveted. Like, that stains me. I deserve punishment for that. And we're by nature that. It's by what we do and think, but also by our very nature. Subject of God's wrath, children of wrath. Another thing that you guys may hear is, we're all just God's children. And it is a very nice thing. Like, I don't want to go up to someone and say, you're not God's child. I mean, that's just kind of mean. Because it's kind of a thing that we all talk about, but it's just when you look at the teachings of God's revealed word, we understand that we're not. Like, we're children of Adam, and we've inherited the sin that they did. We are naturally not seeking God. No one is good, not even one. We have to be reborn. We have to be born again. Okay? So, what are some positives that we see in these verses? What are some cool things? Throw them out.
God is merciful.
Good. God is merciful.
God loved us.
Good. Love.
We're made new.
Good. Made new. Where does it say that? Good. Verse 10. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus. Created us anew. Okay? We're no longer part of the earthly dark kingdom of the ruler of this earth, Satan, subject to God's anger. No, we're transferred into the kingdom of his dearly loved son. We're made anew. This is salvation. This is rescue. This is love. This is awesome. And it's God from start to finish. Faith is a gift. Check out verse 4 there. Do you see the word that it starts with? What word is that?
You say verse 4?
Yes. But. But, B-U-T, okay? It's not a boat like Finding Nemo, it's but. But in a different context, okay? But it's so cool because we look at 1 through 3 and we're like, man, this is hard stuff. Like, you were dead, you obeyed Satan. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Like, oh man, like, I don't want to read this. And then we look at verse 4, but God. I mean, what a transition there, you guys. Savor that word. Love that. But God is so rich in mercy, verse 4, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead at the bottom of the ocean, dead, lifeless, no breath, not holding on to anything, not opening our mouth for medicine, not having a terminally ill disease, but already dead in sin, because of our sins, he gave us life. God gives us life. You guys, grace that it talks about in these verses is precious. This is salvation. This is, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So these verses, you guys, go home, meditate on these, open up your Bible tomorrow, pray. Open up with your mom or your little brother and say, hey, let's look at this. Let's look at some positive negatives. Do this and think about these wonderful things, because let me ask you guys this. Kind of a rhetorical question, but does God owe us salvation? Okay, now let me ask you a question. Kind of just don't answer out loud. Do you deserve God's love and kindness? Do you deserve God's love and kindness? Okay, all of us have fathers and mothers, okay? Now, fathers and mothers are supposed to care for us in different ways. We think of love and protection. We think of provision and guidance. We think of encouragement and discipline. And we think of them training us to be on mission to do something. And as we think about our parents, we all have parents. And whether they were very absent, we didn't know them at all, or it's very painful, or they were awesome. We think about these things like love and protection, provision. You guys, in salvation, we all, and we could celebrate this, we all are reborn into God's family as children of God. Ladies, you are daughters of the King of the universe. Men, we are sons of God, reborn into this. We receive the Father's love, protection, provision, guidance, encouragement, discipline, and we could be on his mission. And so in your groups, I gave my dad the handouts for all the small group leaders. We're going to transition and delve into this a little bit more.